take you away from all this." He snapped his fingers. "There has to be at least an approximate conservation of mass. It's a fundamental magical rule. If something is moved from A to B, something that was at B has got to find itself at A. And then there's momentum. Slow as the disk spins, various points of its radii are moving at different speeds relative to the hub, and a wizard projecting himself any distance towards the rim had better be prepared to land jogging. The 3 miles to Lancre Bridge merely involved a faint tug, which Ridcully had been ready for, and he landed up, leaning against the parapet with Esme Weatherwax in his arms. The customs troll, who had until a fraction of a second previously been sitting there, ended up lying full length on the floor of the Great Hall, coincidentally on top of the bursar. Granny Weatherwax looked over at the rushing water, and then at Ridcully.
"Take me back this instant," she said. "You've got no right to do that."
"Dear me, I seem to have run out of power. Can't understand it. Very embarrassing. Fingers gone all limp," said Ridcully. "Of course we could walk. It's a lovely evening. You always did get lovely evenings here."
"It was all 50 or 60 years ago," said Granny. "You can't suddenly turn up and say all those years haven't happened."
"Oh, I know they've happened all right," said Ridcully. "I'm the head wizard now. I've only got to give an order, and 1,000 wizards will, disobey, come to think of it, or say, what, or start to argue.
But they have to take notice." "I've been to that university a few times," said Granny. "A bunch of fat old men in beards."
"That's right, that's them."
"A lot of them come from the Ram Tops," said Granny. "I knew a few boys from Lancre who became wizards."
"Very magical area," Ridcully agreed. "Something in the air." Below them, the cold black waters raced, always dancing to gravity, never flowing uphill. "There was even a Weatherwax as Arch-Chancellor years ago," said Ridcully.
"So I understand. Distant cousin. Never knew him," said Granny.
They both stared down at the river for a moment. Occasionally a twig or a branch would whirl along in the current. "Do you remember?"
"I have a very good memory, thank you."
"Do you ever wonder what life would have been like if you'd said yes?" said Ridcully.
"No."
"I suppose we'd have settled down, had children, grandchildren, that sort of thing?" Granny shrugged. It was the sort of thing romantic idiots said. But there was something in the air tonight.
"What about the fire?" she said.
"What fire?"
"Swept through our house just after we were married. Killed us both."
"What fire?" "I don't know anything about any fire." Granny turned around.
"Of course not. It didn't happen. But the point is, it might have happened. You can't say, if this didn't happen, then that would have happened, because you don't know everything that might have happened. You might think something would be good, but for all you know, it could have turned out horrible. You can't say, if only I'd... because you could be wishing for anything. The point is, you'll never know. You've gone past, so there's no use thinking about it, so I don't."
"The trousers of time," said Ridcully moodily. He picked a fragment off the crumbling stonework and dropped it into the water. It went plunk, as is so often the case.
"What?"
"That's the sort of thing they go on about in the high-energy magic building, and they call themselves wizards. You should hear them talk. The buckers wouldn't know a magic sword if it bit them on the knee. That's young wizards today. They think they bloody invented magic."
"Yes, you should see the girls that want to be witches these days," said Granny Weatherwax. "Velvet hats and black lipstick and lacy gloves with no fingers to them. Cheeky, too."
They were side by side now, watching the river. "Trousers of time," said Ridcully. "One of you goes down one leg, one of you goes down the other. And there's all these continuinuums all over the place. When I was a lad, there was just one decent universe, and this was it. And all you had to worry about was creatures breaking through from the dungeon dimensions. But at least there was this actual damn universe, and you knew where you stood. Now it turns out there's millions of the damn things. And there's this damn cat they've discovered that you can put in a box, and it's dead and alive at the same time, or something. And they all run around saying, 'Marvellous, marvellous, hooray, here comes another quantum.' Ask them to do a decent levitation spell, and they look at you as if you've..."